Welcome, and thank you for standing by. I would like to let all participants know you'll be in a listen-only mode until the question and answer session of today's call. If you do have a question, you can press star one on your phone. Today's call is also being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I'll turn the call over to Melissa Grasso. Ma'am, you may begin.
Great. Thank you so much, and welcome to everyone. Thank you for joining us on today's call on the topic of Quebec's aerospace and defense status and evolving business practices. I'm Melissa Grasso with the U.S. Department of Commerce's Connecticut office. For those of you on the call who aren't familiar with us, we are the trade promotion arm of the U.S. federal government, and I would encourage you all, if you're not already connected with your local office in your respective states, please visit our website, which is www.export.gov, where you can find a listing of all of our offices across the U.S. And I'd like to just take a minute to thank the Connecticut District Export Council for their support in putting on a series of calls. We've done over 10 calls at this point. All of the materials and recordings were available. Those are all up on the Connecticut District Export Council website, which is www.ctexporters.com. I'll be sending out a follow-up note after the call with all of this information. So if you didn't get the website down, again, I'll include that in the follow-up email. I'd like to send a big thanks to our two speakers on today's call. We're really appreciative of you graciously giving us some of your time this afternoon to talk about this important topic. Our first speaker is Suzanne Benoit, and Suzanne was appointed the president of Aero Montreal, which is Quebec's aerospace cluster, at its inception in August of 2006. And Aero Montreal brings together major decision makers in Quebec's aerospace sector and aims to optimize the competitiveness, growth, and influence of the industry around the world. And prior to joining Aero Montreal, Suzanne held a variety of leadership positions in the economic development, federal investment, and government relation fields. Our second speaker today is Gina Bento, a colleague of mine. She is the senior commercial specialist covering the aerospace and defense sector at the U.S. Consulate in Montreal. Gina is the national sector coordinator for aerospace, and she's been with the organization for 12 years. And I know most of the folks who are on the call today are clustered in the northeast part of the U.S. So many of you, I'm sure, if you've done work or tried to do work in the province of Quebec and specifically in Montreal, hopefully you've had the opportunity to meet with Gina. She definitely knows the sector quite well, and she's helped a large number of U.S. aerospace and defense firms over the years. So again, thank you, Suzanne and Gina. And just to provide some context for why we've put on these calls, we've obviously seen that many businesses and all in all industries have been impacted by the COVID-19 crisis, which continues, of course, to be a fluid situation. This particular call is we thought germane to hold at this point, given the strong business ties between Canada and the United States, and in particular amongst aerospace and defense firms between the province of Quebec and companies in the northeast part of the U.S. So with that, I wanted to turn to Suzanne with our first question to discuss, which is really an overview of what's going on in Quebec. What are you seeing from large and small companies? What are they doing? Are they remaining open? Are they closing? Is it a mixture of both? Could you give us some perspective on that, Suzanne?
Yes, thank you, Melissa. Thank you so much for your kind introduction. You know, I'm very pleased to be with you today. We have developed very strong linkages with many of the grouping or association chamber of commerce in the New England northeast section of USA. We foster collaboration between, you know, our companies here, our supply chain, and the U.S. supply chain, and we had a very successful collaboration. So thank you very much for inviting me. It's really an honor to be with you. It's a difficult situation right now in Quebec. You know, Quebec is one of the we're part of Canada, of course, and the Federation, and we have also a specific law applying to Quebec. So we've been trying to keep our industry sector active in this pandemic situation, but we have also to comply with the rules and the public security and the health, department of the Quebec province, which is very, very, which word should I say, stringent in the sense that our premier is very prudent and he wants to ensure that the health is the priority here in Quebec. The economy, the industry is coming in second part, except for sure of the essential services and commercial activities, for Quebec. So we've been dealing, I'm telling you, in the last 4 weeks in trying to keep our industry alive, in a sense, at the minimal rate, but we had some challenges and mainly what I could tell you is we've been surveyed, some of our companies, and the last survey is showing that more than 60% on the civilian side of our company have reduced their operation. About 30% are in full operation and 9% are completely closed. So, there's some activity, but, we've been perceived by some jurisdiction as being the location where our companies were not supplying the parts to the global supply chain, and we had difficulty in convincing our government that we should maybe open up a little bit more. And they agreed on that last week, and we put a process in place to accelerate the production for the commercial side, because we're part of the global supply chain, as you know, and in the Quebec ecosystem, we have five big OEMs. We have Airbus, Bombardier, Pratt here in Quebec, Bell Helicopters, CAE, and these guys are all over the world. And, some of our companies are selling parts in Poland on some of their supply chain, like Pratt and others. And, we try to deal with all this situation. But to tell you the truth, we've been very much impacted, I'm sure, like you are in the States. But our big concern is try to keep a minimal rate of activity. So when the recovery comes, it will be easier. Right now, our commercial side officially is considered non-essential. As I mentioned before, we have special permission from the government to serve our clients, our global clients, on a minimal basis. So just produce the parts, minimal parts that is needed by the global supply chain. So I don't know if it's clear, but that's about the situation right now on the commercial side. On the defense side, of course, this is recognized as an essential service. So all major defense contractors, tier one, remain open. But again, it's not time to develop market, try to have new contracts. The idea is to do reduce activities again, but be open. So, companies have reorganized their IT environment to provide necessary environments for efficient teleworking. About 50% of all of the staff, is office, sometimes office staff in big companies, they work from home. This has also its challenges, and we try to keep the priority with safety of staff, and we work hand in hand with the unions, also with the health authority, and we also share best practices with companies that have developed special measures for sanitary purposes in their plants. So we try to be, try to mobilize everybody to adhere to those specific measures, which are, of course, protecting employees and staff in the plant. So that's about it. We also experience in the last few days big companies going with salary cuts, salary increases suspended, temporary layoff, dividend canceled, voluntary pension fund contributions suspended, hiring freeze, it's non-essential spending cuts. So this is all the tip of the iceberg. But, I think the worst is to come in the next few months when we get to the stage of the recovery, and how do we get the industry going and what will be left, So this is a bit depressing when you think about this. But we have a resilient industry. And we've been through many pandemic before. We had the SRAS. We had the 9/11 situation. You had it harder in the States. We had H1N1 pandemic, the financial crisis in 2008. Now we have the COVID-19 crisis, and after it will be the world economic crisis. So just to tell you that the industry is still surviving, so we hope that in 2-3 years we'll be back where we were before this COVID-19 pandemic.
Oh, thanks for those great remarks. I'm sorry. And you touched a little bit upon some of these, but I'm curious as to your thoughts as to what you perceive as the biggest threats to your member firms and to the broader aerospace sector within Quebec.
It's really how we will recover from it, because it's all intertwined. You have the global air travel impact, like with the airlines, the tourism industry. Here in Quebec, in Montreal, to talk about my city, we have many tourists, coming on those cruise ships, by airline, even crossing the border by car, buses, whatever. And, these guys are, they like to travel. But now, because of the economic situation, they may not have the discretionary money to travel. So this will impact on the airline company. Also, business travel will change. Now, everybody's experiencing teleworking, and it's working great. So companies will say, okay, we'll continue that way. This is, we save money and this is great. So all this will impact on the airline. And if the airline are not, having clients, it means they won't upgrade their aircraft, and they won't buy aircraft, so the manufacturing industry will be impacted, and all the supply chain, all the SMEs, the small medium enterprise, will also feel that slowdown. This is the big threat. How fast can we recover from that, and how government can quickly, come and help airlines, first of all, and the manufacturing sector. I heard about the States and all the money that they will put in Boeing company, those large firms, and you have the government behind you. But these programs and measures have to be really aligned with the need of those companies. And it's very important, and that's what we'll be doing in a week now. We will be launching a recovery group, crisis group, whatever the name. We'll call it the Alliance for the Recovery, and we'll bring together major companies, also SMEs, and experts to accompany us to look at the short term, medium, long term, and all the things we need to do to have a clear idea of the needs. And we will turn and go to the government, federal, provincial government, and show them exactly what would be the right move from the public authority to help to accelerate the recovery of our industry. So really, that's the big, big challenge for us, is getting everybody mobilized quickly and start again and, you know, helping. Also changing the mentality, because people will be scared to travel. They won't go, you know, very far. Older people will become fine, you know, and they're the one, you know, when they go to retirement, they like to travel. So how do we get those people to fly again and get on an aircraft in a safe mode, you know? And, you know, this is all things that we will be looking at and working together with Tourism Canada, Tourism Montreal, airline, manufacturing, government, and experts, you know, trying to find solutions to accelerate things. So that's my perception of the future.
Thanks again, Susanna. Maybe more of a positive or optimistic question next. Specifically, what innovations you see your member firms making during these very unique times, and how are your companies staying in touch, especially seeing so many major aerospace defense trade shows being canceled?
Yeah, I know. Right now, they try to survive, so they're in a survival mode. But we have discussions, you know, in the past few weeks all together. And for sure, innovation is a trigger, excuse me, to help the companies to survive and be able to go through. So we have, for example, in the last crisis in 2008-09, companies, you know, there was a big slowdown, of course, and companies started to look at finding ways of investing to be ready for their recovery. So they did that, and it was a big success. Excuse me. So we went through different projects, mobilizing projects and innovation, like the Clean Sky Innovation Program in Europe, where you develop demonstration projects for the industry. So we position ourselves on the long term. We knew there were new programs coming up in 2009-10. So we developed the technology that we will find on these new aircraft of the future. So I think that's what we'll be doing also this time. And the government is helping us in that sense right now.
And Suzanne, what is your perception of you mentioned earlier, some of the company shutdowns and slowdowns that are taking place. What do you see that meaning for their U.S. supply chain or supply chains in general? What are the ramifications that you're seeing?
The impact on the supply chain, as I mentioned before, is can be, you know, this thing has to start quickly. The production has to start quickly. Excuse me, I have a start of a cold. I don't have the COVID-19. I'm sure I've been in the home in my house for the last 2 weeks. So I'm sorry for that. So what's happening right now is that companies here in Quebec that are, you know, producing just the essential parts, sometimes they can slow down the global production line because they have the parts that is needed somewhere on the planet, on the supply chain. So that's what we've been saying to the government. You know, you need to give us more possibility to increase the production to respond to the need of the supply chain, the global supply chain, because we export more than 80% of our production. So other jurisdictions in the world are dependent on some of the parts that we manufacture here in Quebec. So right now, the Quebec government said that, as I mentioned before, the civilian commercial aviation is minimal, okay? It's on a case-by-case basis. They may allow the company to produce on a minimal basis. But is it sufficient to respond to the need of the global supply chain? I'm not sure. But in a sense, the government is conscious that we need to protect employees. So it's the balance between the two that is very difficult to manage, you know, in a sense. So until May 4th, we are under pause, as our premier is saying, minimal production. After May 4th, we'll see how the situation is going. If things get better, you know, he said after May 4th, it should be, you know, we will be reopening progressively, more, you know, producing more, responding more to the needs of the clients in a higher production rate. But up to now, it's minimal. So after May 4th, I think, you know, we'll be looking really at recovery and producing to at a higher level to respond to the company's need.
And Suzanne, continuing to look to the future, what do you think companies can do in the meantime to prepare for when the restrictions are officially lifted?
But right now, they're working really hard in getting prepared for the sanitary conditions. Some of the plants, are not very active, as I mentioned before, but they have a team of people, you know, looking at optimizing the operation, trying to organize the work. So, you know, with social distancing in place, different measures, like in cafeteria, you know, having specific products to clean their workspace, you know, equipment, also masks, looking at having masks for everybody. For example, we will be launching Aero Montreal distribution of masks for SMEs, small, medium-sized enterprise. So this is all measures that will help them to cope with the sanitary measures. So, you know, they're getting ready to start. Some of the big companies, they cannot just turn on the switch on May 4 and move in and let's start production. Sometimes they need a week to really organize themselves, put the things together to manufacture. So there are some, you know, preparation before the D-Day, if the D-Day is May 4th. So, you know, we're all hoping that this will happen on May 4th, but again, we don't know. But we work very closely with the Quebec government and making companies aware of the importance of putting those sanitary measures. We have webinar, you know, that we'll be deploying next week on this question with experts and also with practical experience from SMEs, large companies, what they do to cope with the with those measures to make sure that the health of the employees is protected and the manufacturing is also taking place. So all those precautionary measures are very important to curb the spread of the COVID-19, because if we don't do it and we start to have cases of COVID-19 in companies, that means employees going back home, production line being disrupted, and we'll start to square one again. So, you know, it's again, it's a balance, it's judgment. Our Minister of Industry is saying, economy is saying, guys, I'm giving you permission, minimal basis, but use your judgment. You know, it's all your responsibility to make sure that, you know, employees are safe in your infrastructures. So that's about it for that part.
No, I don't thank you, Suzanne. No, that's very helpful. And continuing the look to the future, how do you think that we can encourage or continue to encourage Quebec and U.S. company meetings either at other events or other ways that you think that we can keep the momentum moving forward in terms of business development?
We need to share information for sure, but also we need to connect companies. Right now, I mean, it's social distancing. You know, it's very hard to have meetings face-to-face. Maybe we can establish some kind of video conference or Microsoft team meetings where companies can start to do business on a virtual basis. I don't know. I'm just sending this idea. Maybe we can look at this possibility, but let's say this fall things get better and we can start to meet in person. And as you know, we will have our innovation forum in December that we postponed from 21st of April to the 14th of December. And for sure, we're already planning a session on the post COVID-19 pandemic. This will be a big subject at the International Aerospace Innovation Forum. So, you know, it will be getting together, try to connect, learn from each other. But we don't know what the future will be, and I don't want to be too pessimistic, but some people are telling us, some experts, health experts, are saying, watch September, watch the month of January next year. So if we don't have a big vaccine for the population, you know, we may be facing again this situation. And, of course, we depend a lot on the air travel. So I don't know. I don't know if we'll get out of it. I hope so. But how do we encourage Quebec-U.S. company? Then it's to me maybe virtually on the short term, and after continue what we've been doing and the good relationship we had with all of you guys in the past years, you know, and maybe look at the collaboration more in innovation. We've been more looking at trade, you know, selling goods and services, but maybe we should try to establish a higher type of collaboration, more in innovation, because it's very, very costly to do innovation, and even big company cannot afford to do it alone. So we see in Europe great collaboration with the Clean Sky Initiative I mentioned before, with all the European Union. So maybe we should consider having some kind of collaboration in North America with USA, with Canada on specific area to develop the technology of the future, you know, and try. We've been trying doing this with Gina Bento, I remember a few years ago. Our system is a bit different from yours. University in USA tend to prefer, I would say, to get contracts and work in as subcontractor to specific big large companies, you know. But here in Canada or in Quebec, our ecosystem is a bit different. So maybe we can share the best practice, and we can look at having financial support from our respective governments and try to identify fields of research and collaboration for the future of our industry.
Thanks again, Susanna. Would you mind, I noticed on that Aero Montreal developed a platform called SD Quebec. Could you talk a little bit about that? I was on the website earlier and was quite impressed with what was listed.
Okay.
And the capabilities.
Yeah. In Quebec, as you know, we don't have large defense company in Canada. We mainly source for larger program from the USA and Europe and, you know, other parts in the world also. So in Quebec, we have a very strong commercial aerospace industry, and we need to make our companies more aware about the opportunities in the defense sector. So one way of doing that was to mobilize them on a platform where they can, the ones who are active at least can display their capabilities on this virtual platform. And also on this SD Quebec platform, we also have all the business opportunities in North America that we, you know, share with the members who are actually registered on the on the SD Quebec platform. So this is a way of mobilizing them. Also, we organize seminars for those companies. We try to educate them on how they can actually become suppliers to the big players like the Lockheed Martin, the Boeing, the GD, American companies. They don't know how to connect with them. So we take them by the hand, as I say. We accompany them, and we have experts, consultants, you know, working with them to make them aware of the opportunities and how to do business with the federal government in Canada, but also defense, but also with the U.S. Government. In terms of procurement, you know. So this is a way of accelerating and showing them all the great opportunities that are available. And also it helps them to diversify. So in situations like the one we're living right now, companies who are also involved in the defense sector, besides being in the commercial, they can survive very well because this sector, defense, is completely open, and it's considered as essential. So they can, you know, they get some cash flow coming from that side. But if they are diversified, they can better mitigate their risk, you know, in that situation like the one we live in, when we have economic crisis, you know, because defense is always a sector that is protected and going, you know. So some companies in Quebec understood that, but others need to be a company and help in that field.
And for companies who are listening in on this call, I will send out the website. It's sdquebec.ca. There are over 400 companies who are listed in the directory. I see that there's over 3,300 opportunities listed that Suzanne had briefly mentioned. So definitely recommend that you take a look at that. Again, I'll send everyone this website following the call.
I just wanted to mention another point for the SMEs, more for the SMEs. We spoke about innovation. We spoke about big projects, technology demonstrator project for the future, aircraft programs, aircraft of the future. But also the SMEs, and maybe the pandemic will be a reality check for them in terms of productivity, because many of our SMEs didn't take the 4.0, turn. I don't know if we can say that in English. They're not very well conscious of the importance of improving, you know, their productivity, their operation, and using those, the automation, using robotics, and, you know, data analytics. You know, we're very strong in Montreal in artificial intelligence, and we need to better connect with that sector because we have, you know, the brain power here. But we need to bring it also in SMEs. And our Minister of Economy is saying and repeating now in the recovery, we will invest a lot more in the Industry 4.0 to make sure our SME are state-of-the-art in terms of the automation and also data analytics. So in a sense, it may be, you know, this pandemic will have trigger, I hope, an acceleration on that side and help our SME to become more efficient and productive in the medium-long term.
Great. Thanks so much, Suzanne. I know you may need to hang up from the call, and I want to be cognizant of your time. Do you have time for a quick question that came in from one of our participants just now over email?
Yes, yeah.
Okay,
sure.
Great. So the question is, with many of your businesses reducing staff by layoffs and furloughs, and also cutting salaries and benefits, how are your businesses planning to accelerate once the economy reopens and you know, getting those employees back?
The important thing is not to lose the talent. And our government, federal government, has launched a program with very specific measures where they subsidize the salary of the employees up to 75%, up to $58,000. And the company has the option of paying the extra 25% or not paying. And but even if they decide not to cover the other 25%, they are still eligible to the program at 75%. So this is a type of measure that, you know, will help the company to keep their staff. And when things get better, this staff can, you know, start again progressively to work in the company. And the other thing is we also need to think about the future because, as I mentioned before, we've been through many pandemics and crises before. And the industry is always is resilient and will continue, you know, but it's a question of time. But we have to make sure that we don't neglect also the younger crowd, you know, the young people who are actually doing internship in the companies. Now, I would speak to companies tomorrow and tell them, you have internship for next summer, and they will tell me, you know, we have other priorities. But you know, these internships are very important if we want to keep those brains and talents, you know, in our industry, because there are other industries like the life science industry, health science, you know, agriculture, food processing. These are growing industry even during the pandemic, and we may lose those talents to those sectors. So we have to be also proactive and visionary, you know, in our approach with manpower.
Thanks very much, Suzanne. Gina, I know you had a couple comments that you wanted to make. Shall I turn things over to you?
Sure, yes. So thank you, Suzanne, as well for being on the call today. It's wonderful to hear the overview provided. I just wanted to provide just a few quick things to give folks a broader perspective, I guess, of what's happening in Canada. So for those, everyone's just so focused on what we're doing in our own respective cities and regions, but just for the benefit of the U.S. companies on the line, if you might have heard that there is indeed a 30-day non-essential travel ban between the United States and Canada right now, so the border is closed for non-essential travel, but this does not cover supply chain. So it is business as usual for the aerospace industry as a whole. And so if you are concerned about getting your goods up here and shipping them up here to Canada, don't be. Both the United States government and the Canadian federal government recognize that that business needs to keep moving. So the border is open for business and for the preserving of these supply chains. The other thing I as well wanted to mention that Suzanne touched upon is they are working very closely with the province of Quebec in terms of what is deemed essential, non-essential, and so on. So just as well for the overall benefit of the U.S. industry on the line is the Canadian federal government has indeed at the federal level made all of aerospace essential infrastructure. But the provinces each have their own ability to make their own decisions. And so the province of Quebec has indeed deemed the military side of things essential. And Suzanne has been very active in terms of trying to get additional concessions made for the broader civil side as well. But on but the province of Ontario has not had that particular experience. Ontario has left all aviation sectors open. So it's business as usual for now in the province of Ontario. But a big kudos over to Suzanne and her team for going to bat, because the lion's share of Canada's aerospace sector and the production is all made within the province of Quebec. About 60% of it is in the province of Quebec. The third point I'd like to make is just in terms of a quick laundry list. So we've been in touch, the U.S. Embassy, and I'm sure Suzanne has as well with her members. We had the embassy been in touch with several of the larger Canadian aircraft OEMs. So just to give you a bit of a list of what's been happening. So Bombardier has closed their Ontario as well as Quebec plants. They are going to be reopening their Ontario plants on April 27th and the Quebec plant on May 4th. That May 4th date goes back to what Suzanne was mentioning in terms of what the Quebec government has deemed as a date that we can, you know, open business again. But, of course, that's the situation is constantly changing. So that might be rolling out another two more weeks of social distancing and people staying home and so on. But just so you know, Bombardier has indeed called back about a couple hundred of employees in both locations. So while the beginning was a complete shutdown, they've now started to call people back. The same thing with Rolls-Royce. They had a shutdown and they've started calling people back as well in terms of providing essential workers, essential services and essential parts. Bell Helicopter Textron is up and running as far as I know. Irudatec, yes. A major landing gear company, is up and running as well. They are focusing a lot more on the military side of the business. For companies that have a larger military proportion of their production lines, they are able to switch capacity like that much easier. So Irudatec is one of those, maybe not 50-50 civil military, but they do a lot of military. So they are up and running. Pratt & Whitney Canada, I just got the phone with them this morning. They have so their production is open and it keeps on going. Sorry for that noise. So all of their plant workers that need to go in are going in. They are producing those parts. Everybody else that is non-essential is working from home. CAE has laid off about a quarter of its staff, but it has indeed remained open. And Suzanne touched upon this as well. A lot of this. A lot of what's going to happen in the aerospace sector is driven by the airlines and by tourism. So just to give you guys as well a quick overview. So Porter Airlines and WestJet Airlines have grounded their whole fleets in Canada. As far as I know, as far as I saw in the media, Air Canada has indeed stopped all of its international flights, as far as I know, and they're just doing some basic within Canada flying and just some basic cargo flying. So the airlines are really mostly all grounded as well in Canada, much of what is the same happening in the United States. So overall, that's kind of what we're seeing on the industry side. Just to give you a bit of a rundown of some of the major names and major players that you guys might already be supplying to. In terms of advice, two more little quick things. So the FAA and Transport Canada are in very close cooperation. So just so you guys know, these two countries work side by side and both of these transportation authorities are speaking, and they have more or less issued the same type of rules at the moment to deal with COVID-19. And lastly but not least, a couple of words of advice as well. So I got off the phone with some of these OEMs this morning, and their advice to you to would be to stay connected with them and stay connected with government officials, because these OEMs are very closely aligned with what the government are doing. They are speaking very closely with officials at the federal level, at the provincial level, as well as at the local municipal level. So they are encouraging industry to stay connected as close as possible. Now, you guys in the United States, you might not be connected with the province's government up here in Canada, but we are. So please feel free to stay close in contact with myself. I'll be happy to relay any information that I have, and any information that Suzanne's team will have, I'll also be happy to relay and share. So just stay tuned. This is an ever-evolving situation. I know that, the world and life can already be complex enough, and now we just added a whole other layer of complexity to it. But we are here to serve you. We are here to help you. That's partially why we put this webinar on today. So please feel free to call us and ask us any questions you might have. The last little note, I don't know, Suzanne, if you think this might be beneficial, but, you guys might want to, as you start to ship parts up here and so on, you might want to put a note on what your plants are doing in terms of the battling the COVID-19 spread, so that when people are indeed doing business with you, they see that you are indeed being proactive and that you're following what the situation is closely, and that you are on the ball. I think that will increase people's confidence in wanting to continue to do business with you. So that being said, I'm happy to entertain any questions or any comments. And again, we really are here to serve and to assist. Thank you.
Gina, thank you so much for your comments. A really quick question. Have you heard anything about Airbus Canada? Are they open for business, closed?
That's a really good question, Melissa. Airbus Canada and, as I should have also mentioned, Mitsubishi, which are two other newer kids on the block. I have not heard. I don't know if Suzanne, are you still on the line, Suzanne, by any chance?
Yeah, I'm still there. Airbus is open. I mean, people work at distance, from home. Many of the people are working from home, but they're gradually bringing more people in. And about 1 week before May 4th, they will, go back gradually, progressively, to be, on the 4th of May, I'm not saying it will be full operation, because, as you know, things slow down. So the delivery may be, the production will be impacted. So they will have people in the plant on May 4th, on the production line. But I don't have the exact number right now. But they complied with the requirement of the Quebec government, since, they're non-essential, so they try to keep their operation minimal.
And thanks for that helpful feedback. Julie, can you remind companies how they can ask a question?
Yes, ma'am. If you do have a question, please press *1 on your touch-tone phone. Please unmute your phone and record your name so I can announce you. Once again, if you do have a question, please press *1. And one moment, ma'am.
And while we wait
for
any questions.
I'm sorry, ladies. I have to go. So thank you so much for inviting me. And good luck to everybody, and I hope this conversation will reinforce our collaboration in the future. Thank you so much, Melissa and Gina. Thank you.
Great. And thank you for your time, Suzanne.
Thank you, Baba.
Thank you. And folks,
and
I will still be on the line to answer questions, so feel free to stay on the line.
And as a reminder, you can press *1 to ask a question.
So one of the questions that came in yesterday that Gina and I can address, not directly related necessarily to the COVID crisis, but talking about the required criteria for companies to bid on inquiries for procurements, some of the procurements that Suzanne mentioned in the SD Quebec website. I will take a stab at this in a very general way. Our office has run a number of procurement programs with a variety of primes and tier ones over the years. In general, I'm not talking any one specific company, but in general, most of the primes and tier ones have similar requirements in that their supply chain does need to be AS9100 certified. Many companies require NADCAP certification. Some require non-disclosure agreements, FAA certification as relevant to the specific products, and other export regulatory registrations such as a DDTC registration with the Department of State, again, where applicable. A couple of the things that we've pulled from these procurement events over the years that most of the companies tell their potential supply chain firms to do is do your research. Understand the company that you are looking to sell to. Understand their product lines. Have an understanding of the spec requirements. Again, successful suppliers have a couple things in common: consistent lead times and on-time delivery, competitive pricing, quality, and within the realm of quality, embracing lean manufacturing, a lean manufacturing culture, Six Sigma structure such as this. A lot of companies have also recommended not sending generic or cold call emails, so really identifying what your company can offer and how you can specifically assist. And then the overarching thing that I'd like to stress that we hear from all of the primes and tier ones is go to the companies supplier portal to register on their supplier portal. That's critical. Even if you have the best, most innovative product at a cheap price that has great quality, you have to register on their supplier portal in order to get into their system. So those are some of the general things that we've heard from, again, a lot of the primes and tier ones over the years. I hope that answers the question that was out there. Gina, did you have anything that you wanted to add that's Quebec specific?
The only thing I would say, Melissa, is that already the Quebec culture here and the way of doing business is so person to person that I would really recommend that people take advantage of this time to strengthen some of those bonds that you have just mentioned, you know, like really reach out to people and communicate. And then I would say that, you know, once things are up and running and people are able to travel, I know we're all going to be, you know, drinking from a fire hose perhaps, and you know, and trying to get things up to speed, and travel is the last thing it might be on your mind. But don't neglect building these interpersonal relationships. That's just the way people do business here in the province of Quebec and in Canada in general. People need to build that trust factor a lot more. It takes a lot longer than it does in the United States, having compared and having lived on both sides. So you really will want to create an action plan right now. What are some of the things that you can prepare for that as soon as you're able to travel, as soon as these lines are open again, like, you know, go hit your best customers or go hit your best prospects in person and start planning some of that already right now. That's really what I would encourage people to do is really don't rely on emails after this opens up. You're really going to need to strengthen these personal relationships. Yeah.
Julie, can we do a quick check to see if any questions have come in over the lines?
Yes, ma'am. I'm not showing any questions on the phone lines at this time. Once again, press star one if you do have a question.
Thanks, Julie. And we had one additional question that had come in, and that was specific to if there are any province of Quebec or Canadian grants that can be offered for manufacturers who can produce and want to bid on Quebec solicitations. Are those grants, if they do exist, are they good only for Canadian companies or also for U.S. companies? Suzanne did send some information regarding this, but the caveat is they are only applicable to companies that have a place of business in Canada. So there are, and she had mentioned salary support of 75%, there's a Quebec loan of $40,000, and some training measures that are available. But again, the caveat is those are applicable for companies who do have a place of business currently in Canada. On the U.S. side, I know there have been a plethora of conference calls on support specifically related to the COVID crisis, whether that be disaster relief loans from SBA, the Small Business Administration, Ex-Im Bank programs, and other such programs through small business development centers and other organizations. More dialing back a little bit, not specific to the COVID crisis, hopefully folks on the line are aware of the STEP grants that are available. That is federal money from the SBA that is administered on a state-by-state level. So each state applies for, at the beginning of the fiscal year, applied for specific amount of money and was awarded a specific amount of money for companies in their specific state. What I will do is send folks in my follow-up message both a link to find your U.S. Commercial Service point of contact in your local state, but also a link to find your state's point of contact to specifically discuss the STEP grants. There are, each state has different qualifications, and the money can be used for different things depending on which state you're in. So that money is available. And then a final comment would be, again, at a state and local level, check various organizations, business associations, quasi-government organizations in your particular state. There are many states who have workforce development programs. Check in with your local MEPs, the Manufacturing Extension Program. Many of those have grants specifically related to manufacturing initiatives. So again, hopefully that answered your question. Gina,
ma'am,
did you have any
questions on the phone line if you wanted them?
Okay. Perfect.
The first question comes from David. Your line is open.
Hi, yeah. I was wondering, based on the comment before, how can we develop those interpersonal partnerships with folks in the Quebec province if we are trying to enter that market? Thank you.
Okay, sure. So thanks, David, for the question. I would say, too, what not to do is don't rely on email. So you'll want to, if I were in your shoes, I would try to see if I can have first of all, I would really make sure that I've researched the company well and that I can, you know, tailor your particular value proposition to exactly what they do and make it very clear. Don't send the same email to 10 people. That's not going to, you know, tailor it as much as possible. I would ask for a conference call, or I would call. I'll give you my trade secrets. I call and call and call until I get somebody on the phone. You might do the same thing. I very rarely leave voicemail. I leave voicemail once or twice, but then I'll call until I can get somebody on the line, and I'll try and see if I can do a conference call with them or plan a visit. Plan a visit for September, plan a visit for August. I think we're all hoping that by then things will be a little bit more normalized. So you might want to do that. What you can do as well, you can say, hey, why don't we set aside some time in July or in August, and should things be normal, I'll then come up in person. Otherwise, let's have a video conferencing or do it now. Ask, you know, if they are able, you know, just so, I guess, and as well, what you would want to do is you say, listen, we're exactly like you told me, we're very interested in working in Quebec. We really would like to work with you. I've gone on your website. I see that you guys do this. It's exactly in line with what we're able to help you do. We really want to be able to build long-term partnerships in Canada. We've been doing business with other Canadian firms for the last X number of years, or we haven't yet, but this is part of our strategic plan. We really would like to. Canada is a great ally to the United States. Phrase it within those terms, and I think it really sets you apart from just being another company that's called them up and that wants to send a digital copy of your brochure, and you'll wait to hear back from them. Does that help a little bit? I hope there's something in there that you're not already doing that I can help you with. And feel free to call me if you need anything. Once the webinar is over, we can circulate my contact information. It's part of my job is to help American firms get into the supply chain up here. And the last thing is you will definitely want to sign up for this Aerospace Innovation Forum that's happening in December. It is probably the best and smartest way to spend your time and money. I don't earn any royalties or any commissions from selling tickets to this conference, but it's basically, it mobilizes the entire aerospace cluster in the province of Quebec, and in actual fact, a lot of people come from Canada and from the United States. So it'll be it's not expensive, and it's a good, solid 2 days of networking opportunities. And so that's what I would do. I would really recommend that you that you take all of those steps or as many as you can. And Quebec also goes to different U.S. trade shows as well as the European trade shows, international trade shows. I know that there's an Aeromart in Toulouse around Christmas time or something like that. So I would take advantage of every opportunity to get in front of them. That's in a nutshell.
And, Gina, if I recall correctly, the Aero Montreal Innovation Forum does have a business-to-business one-on-one meeting component to it. Is that correct?
Yes, they do. Yes, that is correct.
So certainly, and David, we'd have to chat further about this. If you haven't had any luck getting in touch with a specific potential customer, this could be, again, a good way to, take a first stab at getting an introduction to someone.
Great. Yeah, I'd love to follow up with that.
Okay. Certainly. I'm not sure, David, what state you're in, but feel free to reach out to me. And if you're not in Connecticut, I'm happy to connect you with my colleague in whatever state you're located.
Sure. We're based in New York, so that's great.
Okay, great.
Thank you. The next question comes from Fran. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for taking my question. And you actually answered it pretty much in your last answer, and I appreciate all of the information. So I'm going to pivot my question a little bit and ask if during this crisis, if from the perspective of professional services firms that supply to the military defense and aerospace industry, such as architects and engineers, has this exposed any particular vulnerabilities or needs in facility use in, for example, manufacturing? Thank you.
I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
Yeah, thank you. I'm wondering if during this crisis it has exposed any particular facilities needs or vulnerabilities in the defense aerospace sector, particularly with regard to manufacturing.
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Architecture and engineering perspective.
Architecture and
facilities
perspective. Yeah, that's a really, really good question. I have not seen anything that that is directly related to architecture and engineering. But what I can say is that a lot of these facilities and these plants, are going to need to reshuffle or reorganize internally for social distancing. Who knows if now we're expecting a second wave of COVID-19, every winter, every fall, and every spring or something. So I would highly recommend that you reach out to folks within the, especially VP operations, I would imagine,
mm-hmm.
and offer them your services and let them know that you are, there and that you'd like to work with them in order to increase their overall preparedness for any
mm-hmm.
of the future pandemic situation. I do know that a lot of companies have had to retool, I've had to shuffle things around, and some of them are even thinking about adding, temporary buildings in order to house different types of supply chains, as they were now building ventilators as opposed to aircraft simulators and so on. So there's definitely a need, absolutely, for companies to now rethink what their plants are looking like. Absolutely. Yeah. Does
Thanks
that help
so much.
A little bit?
Yes, it does very much. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jim Spinoza. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you for the conference call today. My question was just simply, you mentioned in the beginning that the webinars, the conference calls are recorded and available in a library online.
Yes, and what I'll be doing is, this is Melissa Gross, so I'll be sending out an email that has all of the relevant links, including a link to the Connecticut District Export Council website where we have all of this information housed, not just for this conference, but for the conference, the 10-plus conference calls that we've held since the middle of March. So lots of good information there.
Thank you very much.
Sure thing. Julie, any other questions?
Ma'am, I'm showing no other questions at this time.
Well, I'd like to thank everyone very much for your time. I know we're a couple minutes over the hour, so thanks to those of you who are able to stick with us. We hope you found this informative and helpful for your businesses. Gina, thank you so much for your perspective from the U.S. Consulate in Montreal. I know Suzanne had to leave the call, but a big thanks to Aero Montreal. They've been a great partner of U.S. Commercial Services. So if anyone has any other questions, feel free to reach out to me. And,
Ma'am, I do have one more question.
Certainly.
Did you want to take it? One moment. Ron, your line is open.
Yes, hi. Thank you for the webinar. It's very informative. I have one simple question. When is the anticipated next Aero Montreal?
So Aero Montreal has been, as Suzanne mentioned, has been moved back to December 14th and 15th, 2020. Of course, that's a tentative date, depending on how the situation continues to unfold, that may get pushed back again. But at the current point, it is December 14 and 15, 2020.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, again, and have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.